though we are populated with many, it's just him.
That's a very good way of putting it. I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Lotus.
And it's Phil Hendry.
Wait a minute, I'm Galen Jesus Cook.
General.
Sorry, General.
I'm General Galen Shook. You know, don't be so ready to shovel the dirt in on top of me, all right?
Yeah, sorry about it, General.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right, General. We're not shoveling the dirt in on top of you, man. We're just, I guess we're in a hurry to get back on the air because we've been off the air since, I don't know, when the hell was that?
I think it was Tuesday night.
Well, it was Tuesday night when the whole thing went dark. That was frightening. A lot of you should have been here. Just to experience, I don't mean a lot of you should have been here for any other reason.
Well, you talk about, what, you know, a friend in the dark.
A friend in the dark. You're talking about hand jobs.
Hey, come on. Wait, come on.
Don't start off like that, bud.
Try to just lighten the mood.
We don't need the mood lightened that way, all right? She goes ape. Can't you see it by now?
Excuse me, General. I will not have myself spoken of in the third person.
All right, right. Say you're sorry, bud.
Sorry.
Were you really talking about a friend in the dark?
Well,
see, you know, I'm never wrong. I know I get violent, and I know someday I'll probably kill someone, but I'm never wrong. Excuse me, my throat.
Well, you know, we've been off the air for so long. Everybody's throat is dry.
General, when you were crunching that paper, it's right in front of the microphone.
Yeah, I meant to say that, General. We're over-modulating.
Oh, you're over-modulating. Well,
over-modulating.
Call over-modulate, man. I know.
Well, then say it right, will you, if you don't mind?
Over-modulating.
You know, you have to send all these guys back to school 3 or 4 times before they get it.
Welcome to our show, folks, the Phil Hendry Show. And yeah, we were off the air since we didn't have a live show. Didn't have a live show, I don't think, since Tuesday because we had a power outage that effectively destroyed one of our computers. And so I say to you, Southern California Edison, with all due respect, thanks a lot.
What are you hoping? You're gonna get a free computer out of it?
Yeah, but see, I don't know if they're going to do that.
No, I don't think I'm going to get a free computer out of it. Are you kidding? But I will tell you this, when I say everybody's voice is wrecked, my voice is wrecked.
Which means everyone's voice is wrecked.
Yeah, exactly. No, I realize that it won't happen because there's probably something, I bet you there's anything in the paperwork that you sign when you get electrical power, whatever the hell.
When you're getting your utilities, the electricity.
Yeah.
I'll bet you there's something that you sign. Oh, I know, you're going to say that there's probably something you sign that leaves them blameless for any destruction to your property.
That'd be great. Let's let Mr. Henry do it.
No, you're right, Margaret. That was exactly it.
Why are you crawling around on the floor again?
He's looking for more of that news copy. Phil, I'm telling you.
I had a piece of copy that I wanted to hang on to, and I tossed it. Where is it, bud?
Right here.
Thank you.
Then you've got Bud scrambling on the floor.
No, I don't. Yes, here it is. Though this is installing the printer in a Mac. Okay, so we had a lot of work going on here. We had Adam was with us. Adam Chavez is our maintenance tech, you know, genius guy. And then we also were talking to Shane and the guys at the website. So it was a whole.
You had out the entire crew trying to get this damn thing going. Now here's the thing. I just want to mention something. If you lose one machine, is that supposed to kick your ass for? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see, that's a long time. Well, you got to understand one machine. That's a whole production machine and stuff.
Look, man, it ain't like I got a whole crew and, oh, we lost a machine. Run out and get one. Let's get it installed today. It just doesn't work like that. Not in the world of digital that I know. By the way, everybody's been sending me this article.
Now, Phil, don't go on and on about this article. You know, it's going to put you in bad stead with a lot of people, very important people that you may still need to impress.
Come on, Margaret, let them read the article.
I'm not reading the article. I'm just going to mention it. Because, I don't know, 5 or 6 people connected it, you know, gave me the link to it on Twitter. Basically, the article is the following. It's from Variety, which is a trade journal, you know, the entertainment business. And it says that the radio business needs to grab a hold of the business model or something, success model of digital, lest they be left in the dust.
Now, in the same article, they do interview radio executives who counter that. They gave them the counterpoint. And they said that they are popular among millennials. They are popular among.
You're talking about among?
Among?
You mean among?
Yes, among. Thank you, bud, for nothing.
Well, I know what you're trying to say.
I was trying to say the word.
Saying the word among.
Among millennials and Gen X. And Phil said, and I was sitting there as he was reading that, he used the BS.
Yeah, you did. You said bullshit is what you said.
Did I now? Well, thank you very much for letting everybody know that.
Well, Mr. Henry, people aren't babies in the womb. They all know to use the bullshit word.
Excuse me, but you don't get to.
What the fuck?
Hey, watch it. Use the F word with me. Hey.
Don't want to do it.
What are you holding onto your lip for?
It's your dust on a weed.
I never touched him.
The F word, not the F word, the R word radio. So what about it anyway? So they made a big deal about it?
No, that's just people sent me the article. I don't think radio's on the way out. I think radio is, you know, I think radio is amazingly successful for the garbage that they're shoveling these days. And they are. It's sad. It could have been much, much greater than it has become. And the fact that they're actually making a living over there is pretty much a shock. But what the digital people are trying to say, and what Variety was saying was, and they were quoting other people in radio, I guess, who have their eyes open a little bit wider, is that they better get their act together and they better begin to exploit what is happening in the digital world in terms of listenership, because they may have all the millennials. I don't know any that of the millennials that I know.
Well, how many millennials do you know, Phil?
The guys that work for me, for instance, and all of those guys listen to their own music, man. They got their own thang now. They're not tuning into
Hot 91 or whatever the hell they... What do they call these stations now?
Well, like Hot 91 or Hot 99. Yeah, they got Hot 99, you know.
What do you mean Hot 99?
What is it with you guys and the
number?
Yeah, the number 99.
Letter.
God says that letter. I know that.
They like to say 99 because, I don't know,
sounds cool that way.
Speaking of that, isn't that how much a month's subscription is to the Phil Henry Show?
Yeah, $9.99. And
would you stop that before I chase this kid down, beat him to death, and leave him there in the dust for the filthy buzzards?
Yeah, you said just like that Western.
I'll leave you in the desert for buzzard meat.
The what? Nothing. $9.99 is our great segue into the website. Get yourself a subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, because this coming Friday is the last day of the 99-cent, or if you will, 99-cent promotion, where you get 2 months for 99 cents for the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What do you think about that, Bud Dickman?
That's right, everybody. You get a 99-cent for 2 months for 99 cent.
Yeah, it's 2 months for 99. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
All right, and that's ending...
It's ending on Friday, and the promotion will be over then. So get a chance to listen to Phil Henry Show, listen to the archives, listen to the new Miami tapes that'll be coming along pretty soon.
I'm going to have to give a call there to Matt and find out what's up with those. But he's doing them in real time, so who knows. And then, you know, be that as it may, man, we'll just...
What if he's stolen them? What if you never see him again?
I have full faith.
Did you do anything to protect yourself?
What do you mean, protect myself?
Did you have him sign anything? Did you have him... Did you even know that this man was who he said he was?
No, I didn't.
You mean to tell me, you ass, that you turned over ours? Oh, man.
Bob, sir, that's not... Are you kidding me or something?
Well, I mean, I trust the...
You trust? This guy could have been anyone. Anyone off the street.
Well, he was a BSP.
You're sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. So the guy buys a 999. Shit, now I'm doing it.
Buys a 999 subscription... And then, Essie, you know, he's ripped you off. You're nude in the wind, man.
Yeah, I got a signal, Sonny.
It's not a very... I don't know what he means by nude in the wind.
No, it's like you're at Burning Man. You're going to leap into the flame.
Oh, my God. I don't want to hear that reference.
Well, we do have Jeff Dowder on. Yeah, some guy jumped into the fire at Burning Man.
What? He did what?
A guy jumped into the fire at Burning Man.
Burning Man? You mean...
Not Burning Man. Burning Man.
I wouldn't know.
It's a festival of some freak scene they have in the desert. And some nut... leapt into the fire because he thought he'd be reborn again.
Oh, boy. Well, there you go. That's what you get. That's what you get for fooling around with these mushrooms and the cactus and whatever the hell they drink or they eat. These people are way off their nut. By the time they get to Burning Man, they're already 5 days in to a psychedelia experience. Ah, to hell with it.
Great. Well, thank you very much for that, General. Thank you, folks. I'll take it all under advisement. I don't know where we were doing a promo. Then we got into Burning Man and...
Talk about 999.
Yeah, quit knocking off with the 999 if you don't mind. So this is the last week, and then it's all for crap, ladies and gentlemen. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and Phil Henry Show. Jeez. What is this?
That's the C'est la vie, isn't it? With the
That's Misery Slims.
Now, this is not Misery Slims. This is Marcos Bolnar. Marcos Bonaro, Bolnaros. And it's...
I hope you got his name right. Not that he's listening. When you grew up in...
That's called Surfing Day, but we do have a new EP from Misery Slims that we'll keep on listening to as we move through the week. Real Famous Delivery Show. Let's go out now to Bob Bacon, see what the traffic is. Bob?
Don't hotbox it. Sky baby, sweet tan. How about a nice fire?
Noodlebees is the place. Noodlebees for your medicine. Noodlebees for you and your son. Noodlebees for everyone. Noodlebees is the place. Noodlebees is a pharmacy. Drugs?
Oh, man.
Noodlebees can fulfill your prescriptions, fulfill your life, and then fill your prescriptions and fill your life. Two distinct things. Noodlebees. We're open 24 hours a day. Why? Three guesses. Noodlebees, the pharmacy of the future. A place where all can enjoy themselves while waiting for their prescription to be filled by testing other prescriptions that other people came in to have filled. Noodlebees is the one. Noodlebees, lots of fun. Noodlebees. Come on into Noodlebees, a hell of a place to run out of gas.
This is Frank Gray. The fall months are upon us, and that means my wife, Margaret Gray, will be singing at a variety of your favorite drinking spots in the San Pedro area. Come on out and see him as he sings great standards like I've Only Got an Eye for You or I've Only Got Eyes for You. And he'll be singing, by the way, again at the Clam Pit, also at the Muscle Patio, and, of course, at the Lobster Closet. So come on out and see Margaret Gray, my wife. He's a great singer.
Margaret Gray appearing at the Lobster Closet this coming Friday night.
It's the fall months, and that means only one thing. Margaret Gray is going to be opening her mouth someplace, and I'll be the recipient of a good time.
What an animal.
That's the Margaret. Put the phone.
I'm sorry. And anyway, folks, I hope you'll come and see me, Margaret Gray, this weekend at the Lobster Patio in San Pedro.
Right up the street from Tattoo Parlor.
Love this. Do. I feel as if I'm standing on the front bumper of a Pontiac, you know, a two-tone Pontiac. Forget it.
Oh, what you trying to say?
I just feel free. I feel the wind in my hair listening to a great song like this. That was called Nights Out with the Misery Slips, Phil.
Very good band, and that's a new EP from one of our favorite bands in the world. All right, folks. This past week has been a phenomenon, if you want to call it that. I don't know what you call it. It's something that started in the desert a number of years ago, and maybe it was starting like the 80s. Do you know anybody here familiar?
Yeah. Well, you're looking at the wrong guy.
Yeah, I think it's like the 80s or something.
I don't know. Is this the Burning Man?
Burning Man, yeah. And Burning Man has rapidly developed, maybe it was like the 90s or something, but Burning Man's rapidly developed into quite an event for people to attend. There's music, there's art, there's everything. There's meditation, there's spirituality, there's paganism. I wonder if they allow any, like, traditional religions or anything like that.
Well, probably not because of the paganism.
This Burning Man, from my understanding, and I'm not that well-versed in it.
Well, Margaret, how is it you didn't know and now you got to talk about it?
Because I just remembered a couple of things. And if you don't like it, General, take a hike.
No, just stay there, General.
God damn.
Burning Man, as I now recall, because I was talking to Sue Bell Benham. Oh, you know Sue Bell Benham?
Yes, I know Sue. The two of you get together, it never ends.
She is very knowledgeable on these things. And Sue, what is up with you anyway?
I don't know. You and these other self-proclaimed, you know, guardians of the culture. God.
Sue Bell Benham happens to be one of the top writers on culture and the Southern California lifestyle. So you can take that and park it wherever you want to, General. You can park it up there. You can park it way, way up there. Or you can park it near the entrance.
What are you talking about?
Don't you dare laugh at me.
Wait, break it up.
Well, all right, what about Sue Bell Benham?
Sue Bell Benham told me that, Phil, Burning Man is an opportunity for those of us who do have the pagan bent, those of us who are bent in the pagan direction, who want to go in the direction of worshiping the Mother Father, of worshiping the wood imp, of
the wood imp. All right, everybody to each his own, okay?
I'm not allowed to comment?
The wood imp happens to be a very... Oh, boy.
Right.
Let me tell you, you guys want to mess with the wood imp, is that it? He's smiling, you see that?
I know he's smiling. I want to smile, too. The wood imp.
I hope you wake up dead tomorrow, because the wood imp put one through you. What a dick.
I have to be worried that in the middle of the night, the wood imp is going to rape me?
Jesus Christ!
I didn't say that.
What are you talking about, Margaret?
No, I said he'll... You'll wake up in the middle of the night and the wood imp has put a spear right through your neck.
A little... a small one?
Yes, a small one. How big do you think the wood imp...
How big can the wood imp have? You know, I bet she's...
I'm not talking about the dick.
Yeah, see, she was...
He can laugh, he can't.
What about the wood imp?
It is part of the pagan faith and religion that General Shaw knows full well, and yet he laughs. Yes, he laughs. Not knowing what damage the...
What damage the wood imp can do.
I'm only going to say this once.
Fuck you. There she goes. Half man.
I'm able to do... Oh, you... I'm able to do the basso profundo.
Margaret, please.
Need bathroom toilet paper?
No, I need garage toilet paper. Yes, bathroom.
Sorry.
Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen, here the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What was that all about?
Yeah, I'm talking about the paganism of Burning Man is all basically what they're trying to say.
The paganism of Burning Man is all basically what they're trying to... Let's go to Burning Man, shall we? And it is Jeff Dowder's turn to kind of enlighten us. Jeff, you've been out there for a few days. Maybe you could tell us what Burning Man is about and what it has represented to you.
Well, I mean, Burning Man has been going on now here for several days. We had a very terrible thing that happened, as I heard you reference it, Mr. Henry, about a dude who wanted to be reborn again. And that's why the paganism comes in.
I went in on this.
All right, Margaret, hold on.
Yeah, Ms. Gray, you're partially correct in that the paganism, you know, what you're talking about in the paganism is important. But I mean, it's also important to recognize that the paganism is just a part parcel of the Burning Man ritualities. You can be a Christian.
Let me ask a question, will you? Can you be a Christian just like you were saying? And or Jewish or something, and enjoy Burning Man.
You can, but you have to do something that is an homage to the pagan roots of Christianity. Like, for instance, if you wanted to be Christian, you'd have to do it nude. It'd be the only way.
I believe in that. I don't believe that nudity represents filth. I think it can represent great health.
Now you're telling me you're out there nude.
I'm not a Christian, as you know. I am an atheist. Frank is too. But we will partake with pagans because they are acceptable to us, and we will only remove our clothes with pagans.
Well, lucky them.
What an ass.
Well, Ms. Gray, I mean, we're not going to comment on anything.
I'll say you're not going to comment.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying anything about anything. I'm just saying that if you so elect a nude... Then it's on you. Now, the dude that jumped into the fire on Saturday night had gone nude, and, you know, it was tragic.
Let me ask you a question. How am I supposed to feel sorry for some dumbass that jumps into the fire like that?
Well, I mean, he wanted to be reborn again, you know?
They talk about being reborn again. Guy got caught on fire.
You think? I guess you're going to get caught on fire, man. What a dumb thing for you to be thinking about. Yeah, you're going to be caught on fire, and the only thing you can then be thinking about at that particular time is how. Oh, forget it, man.
Hold on for a minute, Jeff. I know that was a shocking event. It's not the first time, though, that people have jumped into the fire at Burning Man, right?
No, it's not. There have been others. And as a matter of fact, I was holding this as a big surprise for you. I got with me right now Lloyd Bonafide, who...
Oh, my God, it's Lloyd.
Hey, Lloyd, how you doing?
Yeah, you guys haven't heard from in a while. Lloyd, you've been coming out to Burning Man for a long time, right?
I've been coming to Burning Man, you know, myself and my wife Gladys since the early 90s. And, you know, I'm a United States Navy veteran, and that means you're a very patriotic man, but when I discovered Burning Man, I discovered a freedom I'd not, I did not know that I never did not have. And that's why we're here.
What do you think about the dude that jumped into the flames?
I think he's a stupid son of a bitch. And,
I see you're nude.
But damn right I'm nude. And I'm proud of it, too.
Does everyone who comes to Burning Man, are they nude?
You're kidding. You can look around. You see everybody's nude.
Well, I mean, I'm not.
So not everybody nudes up at Burning Man. My wife and I made the decision last year that we'd go nude because we felt that was the only way to enjoy the playa.
Now, what is the playa, Lloyd?
The playa is what's the playa? The playa, you know, are you a playa? No, the...
This is General Shaw, Lloyd. How are you?
My sound alike. I'm doing well. How you feeling?
I'm doing great. The playa is the big expensive area where people park their campers, right?
That's exactly right. You park your campers, you park your trailers, and you park yourself. And all kinds of people, they put their trailers or their campers in a circle. And in fact, we've got one over here. It's called the Circle Jerk. I know you guys have been making jokes about that. The reason why we call that is the five guys who have their campers over there, the biggest jerks. You know,
no, these guys are not too much fun.
They're not.
No, the Circle Jerk is right up there. All right, Lloyd, it's great talking to you. I know you're kind of retired these days, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm retired. I'd rather you not bother me anymore, at least while we're here. I'm only kidding, Phil, but in a way I'm not.
There goes Lloyd Bonafide.
So Lloyd and his wife are there, and they are an annual occurrence?
Well, they're an annual occurrence, I think, because they love the freedom and the artistic freedom. But for those of us who are pagan, or pagans, for those of us...
Margaret, will you knock it off with the pagan?
Are you aware of the fact there was a baseball player by the name of Jose Pagan?
I've heard of him, yeah.
How did he spell his last name? How did he spell it?
P-A-G-A-N.
Thank you. So I am pagan.
Margaret, you can't expect that because a guy pronounces his last name...
Yes, I do expect it, and I expect the respect that one would expect...
Anyway, Burning Man, Jeff, this is Bud.
Hey, what's up?
And I'm not a lot. So what are you doing out there?
Well, I'm out here just reporting on it. Burning Man's not really my thing, but I'm out here reporting on it. My band's going to be playing a set here in about a half an hour. Dark Horse is going to be here. Because Dark Horse does play music that's an homage to the paganism, but Burning Man's a little too weird for me, man, because you got cats walking around here in Batman costumes.
All right, Jeff Dowder at Burning Man, where on Saturday night some dude jumped in the fire because...
Because he thought he would be reborn again.
Okay, I guess it's a little too soon to ask if the guy was, you know, high.
Why does a man have to be high on drugs to expect rebirth through the flame?
That sounds all very poetic and nice, Margaret, but it doesn't comport with reality. You can't walk into a fire, you know.
Oh, look at the big words from Phil, comport.
Jeez, Phil, it's kind of a big word, isn't it?
You know, Mr. Rudy, I stand beside you even though I don't know what comport means.
Comport. Conform. It doesn't, you know, doesn't match up, man.
Oh, okay, man. Phil, we're talking about something that is the spiritual awakening of the 21st century.
And a guy walked into a fire.
All right, so they had one dumbass. Out of all the Burning Mans there have been, out of all the Burning Mans there have ever been, we've had one dump, maybe two. Well,
they say there's been more than one.
Yeah, there's been quite a few people that have walked into the fire at Burning Man. I don't know, you know, what the purpose of that was.
Well, if you want to die, then walk into the fire at Burning Man.
Phil, I don't...
If you want to die, walk into the fire at Burning Man. All right, thanks a lot, Jeff. It's been great talking to you, and... Can't wait to talk to you for your next report from some other strange spot on the planet Earth. Jeff Dowder, ladies and gentlemen, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to get the...
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Oh, you just drowned him out, didn't you?
I didn't drown him out, but we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. The Muggsy Brinkman Report, nightly on Channel 78.
Hi, I'm Muggsy Brinkman, and I give you all of the local news out of the Los Angeles area, the history, the pageantry, and the color of the Los Angeles personalities, and the people and the places. Right now, the city's on fire, so there isn't a whole lot of call for me to be out interviewing people about the color and the pageantry. Let's put the fire out first, and then let's get back to L.A. being real colorful.
Muggsy Brinkman on Channel 79. Hi, Chief Brown here for the L.A. County Fire Department. Matches mean fire. Fire means brush fire.
Brush fire mean no more house. No more house mean I no live no place no more.
Remember, only you can prevent house fires. Paid for by the German Jesus Christ Scandal and Latter-day Saint.
Well, famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, listening to a band that we love very much, the Misery Slims. This is their second EP. That's a song called On to Elm Street.
You're giving these guys a lot of play.
I mean, we're not exactly a music show, so it doesn't hurt at all. So, thank you very much, Jeff Downer, and how'd you like Lloyd Bonafide?
Well, you know, I know he's been going out there for a long time because he got weird. As soon as he retired, he went down Weird Street.
You know something, you retire and you begin to relax, and obviously he relaxed into it, and I say that not trying to be filthy because I know he's always going there.
All right, Bud, come on.
Yeah, not trying to relax into it as Bud would.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you would, man.
Oh, got you on that one, didn't I?
You know, Margaret, don't make fun of the boy. He's slow.
All right. Yeah, relaxing into it. I bet.
Don't do it, Bud. Don't do it.
I bet you like to relax into Frank's.
Hold him up. Hold him up. Now drop him.
Sorry, son. For your own good.
You want to make jokes, Bud? That's fine. You make the jokes, I'll make the fist. Okay? Bud, what's in my hand?
Nothing, it's a fist.
Right.
Okay, you guys done fooling around. Let's get back to the show, such as it is. Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Vernon Dozier and Mavis Leonard joining us on the show because we meant to have this discussion last week, and in fact, we did. This was... Both of you guys were on the air with us when we suddenly encountered the power failure, and I'm glad that you've come back on with us. Coach Dozier, how are you?
Yeah, I feel good.
And Mavis? Mavis Leonard?
Oh, fine, Phil. I'm sorry. I was looking at outside. I see a coyote in the fire. You know, there's a lot of coyote wildlife that get chased around.
Are you seeing coyote down where you live?
I just saw a couple. Looks like they're going through my trash. I won't have it. My trash is trash. And I don't care if the coyote there may not have, because there's nothing in there to eat. It's just toilet paper. Jesus.
Okay, I don't know what that's about.
Are you saying that the coyote's going through your garbage to eat the toilet paper?
I don't know what they're doing, but I'm because of the fires we've had.
Yeah, the wildlife in the surrounding area, Phil, obviously has been affected by these fires.
Well, let's hope that the fires are put out fast and that life gets back to some kind of a normality. Vernon, as I mentioned, and also to you, Mavis, when we were talking last week, we had the power failure, so we were never really able to complete our conversation about football and head injuries. Insofar as this is a debate, I wanted to give you guys each an opportunity to say what you feel about it. Mavis, you were a teacher for 40 years. Coach Dozier, you're currently a teacher as well as a high school football coach, so you see this from a lot of different angles. And I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about this. The recent news coming out of the world of football and the world of medicine is not good for football. Mavis, what do you think?
Well, Phil, I thank you very much for allowing me to come on your program and to talk about the football and these young men who are more willing to go out and have their brains scrambled than they are willing to stay home and keep their mind intact and just do schoolwork. I tell them, wrap a bandana around your head. That will remind you that you're keeping your brains in your head. And you don't want to go play football where they're going to come out your ears. I think we have too many promising young people in our country to throw it all away on a game of football where once you finish playing, you walk around bumping into things, you speak a language no one understands anything you're saying, you wind up delivering groceries, and sometimes young school children will point at you and laugh and follow you down the street. You don't want that. You want a good life, and you don't want to wind up like, I'm not saying Coach Dozier, I guess he's okay, but a lot of his friends.
Coach?
Yeah, can I just interrupt?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of personal, Mavis.
Well, I didn't mean to be, I don't know anything about you, Coach. How you wound up.
All right, well, if you don't know anything about me, thank you for not saying nothing about me.
You'll thank me for it.
Yes, I will.
All right. Had I known that ahead of time, I wouldn't have said nothing because I would have known
that I was going to thank you.
That you were going to thank me, yeah.
I'm not even sure what it is I said.
Well, Coach, let's just pick up on the theme of what Mavis was talking about there. You're obviously not homeless.
No, I am not homeless. I'm a coach. I'm a teacher.
I just said maybe. A lot of your friends might be homeless.
A lot of my friends, I don't have homeless friends. I know a couple of guys that played football, and they wound up going into a bakery in the morning and pushing a broom just for extra bite. But I don't think that didn't have anything to do with football. That had more to do with just, you know, probably drinking too much or not drinking enough. But I'm saying to you that I am a football coach and a high school teacher, so I see young people at both ends of the spectrum, from athletics to education, and I know for a fact that a great many fine students come out of the football program. I've got I got football players who are in our theater department. I got football players who are in our math department.
You got football players in theater. Bull.
Excuse me, ma'am?
Hey, let's watch the language, all right, Mavis?
I didn't say I went bull. I didn't say the other words.
Well, I'm here to tell you it's not bull. I'm here to tell you I've got...
You have football players on your team, and they, you know, what they doing?
What do you mean, what are they doing?
What are the productions?
The senior class just put on, I think, what's it called? The one on, you know, the one from New Orleans. It's Stanley Kowalski and
Streetcar Named Desire. Yeah, Tennessee Williams.
Streetcar Named Desire, one of our football players.
What did he play, Kowalski?
Yeah, he played Stanley Kowalski.
Because you have to be a little scrambled in the head to do that. Stanley Kowalski is a mental midget. Everyone knew about that.
I think it's unfair to say that football players are going to be nuts just because they play football. Now, we know that there's a science out there. We know that it's damaging to young people's brains. I'm not trying to get anybody hurt, but I don't want anybody to start to soften up. You get in and hit, and 9 times out of 10, you are going to be giving yourself a better chance of not being injured than if you don't hit.
How you figure that?
I'll tell you how.
You tell a young man to go in and hit as hard as he can. You're saying you got a better chance?
Because we teach these people the right techniques. We teach them the right way of doing it. If they do it the right way, they hit a man the right way, they're not going to be injured. Because we tell them to lead with their shoulders, not with their head. You lead with your shoulder, and you dig in.
I've seen these young men, they go helmet to helmet.
I do not think that's effective at all. That's a very, very small area of impact. You're not able to control your opponent that way. We like them to dig in with the shoulder. Tackling is more than just, you know, going to... running your head into some guy's groin. It just doesn't make any sense.
Now, Coach, I understand that young people have said that you tell them to go home to mama. Is that it?
You better believe I do. And Phil knows this, too. We tell our young people, unless they're ready to play football, you can take it, you can hike it on back to mama, because I don't want any part of that.
Don't you know that humiliates the young man to go back to his mama just because he can't play football?
I don't care. We need more of that. I got a young man. I said, you got an opportunity to be on one of the top football programs in all of Southern California. But what do you want to do? You know,
Coach.
No, wait. I got to say this. You know, I've coached for a lot of years. And I bring people on this program. And what do they want to do?
You want to go home to mama?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You think that's funny or something?
I think the way you're breathing heavy is funny.
What does she mean, breathing heavy?
You sound like you're about to have a stroke or something, Coach.
I'm not going to have a stroke.
Well, then why are you doing this? You're going,
I'm simply trying to say. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. Coach, you are really messed up.
Coach, are you all right? You do sound like you're hyperventilating.
No, I'm not hyperventilating. I just have Mavis here on the other end. I'm saying to you, Mavis, if you just listen to me, I've got young people who would rather go home to their mommy than play football.
Yeah, that's right. You have young people who want to go home and play with mommy. You know, Coach, it would do everyone much a world of good, I think, if you would turn yourself in to the closest police department.
You try to say.
You know that.
All right, she's fooling around.
I'm only partly fooling around. He sounds like he's nuts.
There's nothing nuts about wanting a young man to stand up straight like a man and not go,
mommy?
I think that what our young people...
You know, you do that real good.
Yeah, do you want to know why?
Let me guess. Your mother treated you like a little baby?
My mother kissed me on the lips when she let me off at school every day.
That's not so bad. Oh, Jesus. Oh, come on. I've seen much worse.
Let's stick to the point here and not talk about each other's childhood, if you don't mind. We're talking to Vernon Dozier. We're talking to Mavis Leonard.
We haven't got into my childhood, and we're not going to get into it either.
Well, why not? You're bringing up my childhood.
Well, we're not going to do it.
I'm telling you right now, Mavis, if you send any student out into the football program that I'm running, and that kid is doing less than 200-300% out there on a practice field, I am telling you now, I tell you true, that kid might as well hike it on back to his...
Mom, 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 mom.
That's what he might as well do.
Okay.
Woo!
I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to have any of my young people made to feel like they're a turd on a wing. My young people are good young people, and they are going to learn first, and they can learn that football bullshit at a later...
That is Mavis Leonard, and that is Vernon Dozier, and this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We've reached the end of this program.
This has been, a fairly successful technical run of the show.
Yeah, this was a technical run of the show. Well, we'll see how it sounds.
Yeah, you messed it up.
I didn't mess up jack shit.
Hey, watch the language, you guys. I wasn't there. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Hendry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.